Today's Unseminary Podcast episode is brought to you by Church Community Builder. I love how these guys help church leaders make and grow disciples by providing software and coaching focused on improving operational effectiveness. Church Community Builder provides leaders like me with insights into engagement of our church community, helping us close the gaps that allow people to slip away unnoticed. Visit churchcommunitybuilder.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich. Thanks so much for tuning in. We know that things are really busy at your church, particularly as we head into this weekend, and we're just honored that you would take some time out from your schedule to tune in. And we've got a great guest today. You're going to love today's interview with Joel Schmidgall from National Community Church in Washington, D.C. Joel, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, I'm so honored that you would take some time out. For folks that don't know, NCC is a great church. They often, you know, they're known as the theater church. They meet in a bunch of movie theaters around the DC area and in Virginia. Started in 1996, led by Mark Batterson, Pastor Mark Batterson. Joel, why don't you tell us a little bit about NCC and your role there?
Yeah, well, I love where I'm at. My title would be executive pastor. Mm-hmm. Got started on the early days. I just showed up and started volunteering, mm-hmm. and then was hired full-time for part-time pay, as many in ministry are, but kind of developed in my role. So executive pastor, I oversee our launches. We have 8 locations, which I help oversee all the campus pastors. Then I'm a campus pastor at one of our locations, mm-hmm. 8 on Barracks Row. It's about 8 blocks from the Capitol.
That's great.
So awesome space. It's the oldest theater in the district in D.C. Mm-hmm. So really a fun space. And then I help oversee our A18 missions as well. And our Dream Center project, which is coming. So get my hands in a bunch of different places.
Very cool. Well, one of the things I love about NCC, just as an outsider looking in, is, you know, you really seem to have done a good job on kind of motivating people towards mission, really to live out an active faith. Why don't you give us a sense of maybe the various ways that you've done that as a church? How are people getting kind of plugged into living out their faith?
Yeah, you know, I think our passion comes out of our insufficiencies sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, I grew up in the church, mm-hmm. But I was, you know, like the Old Testament calls this certain sect God-fearers, right? Mm-hmm. They're people who had respect for God, but they weren't like the holy remnant, the people mm-hmm. who are really active in their faith. That was me for 18 years. Mm-hmm. And then I hit this point where I started seeking God in a new way. Mm. And it changed my life. And that's when I felt a call into ministry. So I lived kind of this lukewarm lifestyle for 18 plus years. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I have a passion for those who might know God or respect God, but don't experience the fullness of life in Him. Mm. And I feel a passion to kind of call us out in a coach type way, mm. right? Like, come on, like we Join got us. This. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So we have we have 8 locations. We have people who come, man, I think, I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way, but I love our music guys. Our worship guys are incredible. Mm-hmm. Pastor Mark would be our primary communicator. Mark mm-hmm. Batterson, incredible speaker. Mm-hmm. So you can show up on a weekend and you can enjoy it, like mm-hmm. going to a good show.
Mm-hmm.
You
can yep.
come and get something out of it and go away and feel good about yourself, pat yourself on the back. One of my biggest fears as a pastor is that people would live in the entertainment value mm. of what we bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And my passion is to drive us past that. You know, mm. how do we go from information to transformation? That's my calling right there. Mm. And Dave, a guy named Dave Bearing talks about this. Mm-hmm. The difference between information and transformation is obedience. Mm. How do I help people drive towards obedience. So that's kind of where the passion comes from. Mm-hmm. From I guess in terms of practicals and mm-hmm. and I don't know, maybe I'm taking off here, Rich.
No, this is great. This is perfect. Yeah, keep going. This is great.
Okay, so practicals for me. Mm-hmm. One, how are we teaching about it?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
how does our teaching kind of lead us into that? So and this would be a a quick theological jump. So mission for us. So starting with Jesus' very first words in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit anoints Jesus to go and preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And, you know, and that's not a full quote, but just a quick. It's his first words. It's his public address. It's his first press conference coming out. And he sets this agenda and he identifies needs. He identifies poverty within that. He identifies kind of health issues and then brokenness. And so we start in the first words of Acts 4. Okay, how do we address those things? And we break it down just with a simple acronym, ACT. So assist the poor, care for the sick, transform through reconciliation. I mean, Jesus, there's 2,000 verses on poverty. There's a third of Jesus' ministry is healthcare. And then the reason he comes is as the ultimate reconciler of us to God. So he lays this agenda out in his first words. His last words are found in Acts 1:8. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So he breaks it down by giving us the strategy then. Okay, where do I go? Well, first, I don't just go. I'm set with the, like, the presence of God comes before his power. So I've got to get in him first. But then secondly, when we're in him, we have to become active. So Jerusalem, are, you know, where am I now? And then Samaria and Judea and Samaria is where does nobody want to go? And then the end of the earth is where has nobody gone? So how are we engaging on these three levels? And then right in the middle of that is this Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says, now go. A translation can be as you are going. In other words, how are you living? And this is heart stuff for me. This is passion stuff. This is wheelhouse for me. How are you living life on mission every day, wherever, whenever? So as you are going, go and make disciples of all nations, ethnos, ethnicity, people groups. So for us in DC, we have 150 people groups in this city. So we are fulfilling Great Commission in our city. Going into Georgetown, it's different than Capitol Hill, into Southeast DC, into U Street Corridor, Dizzy Gillespie and Louis Armstrong. That's the old jazz part of the city. So so you've got, we've kind of live in these three scriptures to talk about action and faith. So that would be the teaching part. Second would be maybe modeling it. How am I living it personally? I've got a group of guys I meet early morning with, Tuesday morning. We're going through the scriptures. But one of the things, I am held accountable. We have a covenant for all our leaders. And one line is there, how are you sharing your faith with those who don't know Christ? So I have those guys hold me accountable to that. So how do we love our neighbor? Who's your neighbor is that kind of, you know, Bible college or seminary question, but we're not in seminary. We're living outside of that. So neighbor for me, you've got marketplace neighbors, you've got workplace, you've got, you know, kind of special interest neighbors. So for me, what does it look like in my neighborhood? What does it look like at my gym? What does it look like in my home? What does it look like in my church? And I'm held accountable to those four areas. Wake up in the morning, my first neighbor 6 inches away from me is my wife. That's my biggest calling. And then I got, you know, three distractions, three blessings, you know, three little kids. But then my neighborhood, we're active. And then my gym as well, man. When I'm not getting in fights on the ball court, I'm trying to share faith. So I've got to model it. And that goes hand in hand with teaching on it. So in my teaching, I'm always talking about my neighborhood and my gym and things like that. So I'd say teach it, model it. Tag team is a huge one for us.
Very cool. Before we jump on the tag team. So a part of what I hope people aren't missing, but I think there was a time kind of, and this time I think is past, but there were some church leaders that kind of had, that separated, I would say, the proclamation of the gospel and the demonstration of it. So they pulled those two apart. They said, there's kind of an intellectual assent side of faith, And that is somehow distant from, you know, we actually are supposed to care for the poor. We're supposed to, you know, reach out to people around us and help people in our communities. What I love that you're doing, and I hope people are catching it, is you're weaving those two together and saying these two are intrinsically connected. They're both part of the same thing. When leaders, does anyone ever challenge you and say, wait a second, shouldn't we just be all about the proclamation? Why are you talking, you know, Joel, why are you talking so much about demonstration? Does that ever come up? And what do you say to them?
Oh, man. I mean, that's what we talked about earlier, that obedience piece, right? Yeah. Like if we just live in Jesus' words, mm-hmm. I mean, he left us and he said, the Spirit of God now is coming. You're going to do greater things than I have done. Mm-hmm. That's a challenge
that's
right there.
Yeah, right. That's powerful.
So if I'm just proclaiming and not living and modeling it, I'm not using Jesus' strategy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't proclaim it and then not live it. I mean, his life was the ultimate apologetic, I think, for us. Mm-hmm. And so for us to remove the information from the life, like, oh man, it's Dorothy Sayers, it's declawing the Lion of Judah.
Right.
It's making it docile. And again, that's fear stuff for me. So
yes.
How are we engaging people? So that our small groups are built around that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, and our intentional efforts into mission, we've got, I think, 38 missions this coming year. What we try to, so for us, like, and you know, you can't separate like discipleship and mission in our opinion.
Yeah.
So our mission trips are our most, I call them IDTs, intense discipleship training. They're our most intense form of, give me a week-long mission trip with somebody versus a year of them coming to our church, because the voice that I have and the proclamation that is made and the obedience that happens,
right,
like something clicks in people's faith when you put it into action.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be my quick.
Tag team, talk to me about that. How is it that you kind of work together and kind of encourage people to work together in faith?
Yeah, so one of our mantras at NCC would be, we want to help you be a part of the dream that God has given us as a church.
Mm-hmm.
I think for most churches, and that I've been in, is that's kind of where we stop.
Okay.
You know, how do you get involved in
in our stuff
and what we're doing?
Right.
But we kind of take it that next step. So we also say, and we want as a church to be a part of the dream that God has given you.
Mm.
Okay. So that's where, whether it's small groups, like we don't say, we need this Bible study group, we need this one, we need this sermon series. We say everybody has a group in them.
Mm.
Now, how can we get behind you? Same thing with mission. So, like, we do something called Second Saturday Serve.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our initiatives that we come up with. We say, listen, we're going to get out and serve and bless our community. Now, what dream has God given you?
Mm.
You come up with it. We're going to empower you. We're going to give you people to go out and serve.
Mm.
So that's how we've engaged in, like, the Capitol Hill Pregnancy Center, where we're serving, you know, 19-year-old girls who are pregnant, have nowhere to turn. That's why we go to the Youth Services Center, kids who are in jail because of something they don't. These are all passions these are dreams that God has given different people that we said, no, don't just come along and serve in this one ministry. We're limiting the gospel being spread in our city.
Mm.
No, we know you can benefit if you come alongside us, but we want to come alongside you.
Mm.
And so that would be, in terms of tag teaming, I think just that idea that we're trying to do this thing together and walk alongside one another.
I think
like a share the win would be a big part of that.
Okay,
tell
me about that. What does share the win talk about?
So, you know, testimony breeds testimony, right?
Mm.
So anytime I share a testimony, there's always a next generation to that testimony. And this just happened two nights ago when we had called A18 Engage, or we're just talking and sharing testimony, what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody gets up and share a testimony how they're going to foster four kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, I think it's 300 kids right now in immediate need of foster care in the DC system. So, okay, we can get behind this. We can actually knock that list out, 600 churches in the district. So if we can unite it. So anyway, a year ago, we shared a testimony of somebody stepping out and beginning to foster. And the father shared his heart, like, I didn't want to do this thing. And then I just realized, listen, this is a single step of faith that I can take to be a part of the kingdom of God in this city. Cool. That testimony alone sparked Adam, this guy who then was, and his wife was trying to get him, and he said, no, I'm not going to do this. And then that one testimony took him over the edge. He said, all right, I got to be willing to do this.
Right.
We're sharing now generations of testimony. Huh. I am personally committed. 2015 was a year of testimony for me as a pastor. I committed that 2 times a month, I'm going to get testimony into our services. We've got to share the win. We can't just talk about what you're supposed to be doing. I can't just model about what we're supposed to be doing. I need to share the win of what we are actually doing. Right. And then testimony will breed testimony, and that's revelation stuff. Absolutely. We overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb. That's what we focus on, Christ. But also the second thing is the word of our testimony. The testimony is a part of us overcoming. So that would be that share the win piece.
So good. Now, what about, you know, is there anything else when we think about kind of engaging people in active faith?
I think, and this is maybe the last thing I would throw in on this, the focus on the one, like, how do I make it practical? That I think we've heard it before, but nobody can do everything. Everyone can do something. So how do I break it down and make it simple? Application is so huge in our messaging. It's also huge in our discipling, though. So for instance, like when I go out on Second Saturday, I go over to, I mentioned the Youth Services Center. So we go over and we just play ball with the kids in it's, you know, 16 to 18 year olds. We'll go play ball with them. There's a gym inside. You go through the gates and, you know, and the door locks down, and then we get in there and these kids are amped up, and then we play ball. And you know what happens? It starts breaking down barriers in a way that a conversation won't. So at the end of it, we get around, I do a coach's huddle, and we talk about what just happened good out here. Then we make the application. Okay, when you make decisions of sharing the ball or hitting the open man, when you make that good decision on the court, that's what we're trying to do in life. And listen, here's our story. Here's our testimony of how that happens. Now, I'm going too far with that, but my point was this. Every volunteer that comes with us to the YSC, here's the one thing I tell them. My only goal for you is for you to connect with one person. I want you to get one name today of somebody that you speak boldly the hope of Christ into that day, and then a name that you take with you and you're praying for this coming week. So in everything we do, discipleship, evangelism, speaking, we're always trying to point back to the simple, to the application, and to the one. Otherwise, it's going to get lost.
Right, absolutely. Very cool. Now, I know you guys are in the process of opening the DC Dream Center. Could you tell us, just take a few minutes, tell us kind of what's the vision behind that? You know, what does that look like? Maybe people have heard of Dream Centers before, but maybe some people haven't. You know, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so for us, we've got 8 wards in DC. Wards 7 and 8 are kind of the Samaria, if you will, of our city. So all the statistics spike. I mean, yesterday I heard a statistic, you know, 20% obesity in childhood in DC, which is one of the lowest ends of the spectrum. In wards 7, 8, it's like 45%, one of the highest ends of the spectrum. So everything kind of, we call it east of the river, the Anacostia River, and the Potomac kind of abut the district. So on the other side, you've got this other world in DC. So how are we engaging and going to that Samaria, the place where other people avoid? So God opened up the door for a place, a building, appraised at $600,000. And we were looking around and couldn't find anything for a number of years. And then God opened the door. $38,000 we paid for this building.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Wow.
And so just an awesome thing. So we're already doing work on the ground there.
Wow.
We've got 40 mentors of young, teenage and elementary age kids already. We're mentoring 40 kids. Here's a demographic that our city, that our government, that I don't think our nation knows how to handle or help right now. And here's what we're doing. We're helping that generation, and here's how we're doing it, one by one.
Right. Very cool.
Break it down to the one. So mentoring is one by one. So Dream Center, I mean, it's a faith-based community center, essentially. Mm-hmm. So mentoring, after school programs, a place where families can come together, a place where hope can become habit in kids' lives. It's not a church. It's a place of dreams. How are we inspiring kids to dream? You've got kids who live 25 blocks from the Capitol who have never visited the Capitol in our city.
Wow.
So you live in this, it's almost like, you know, ancient Israel, where you lived within 25 square miles and you never, and this is the deal. We've got a rooftop terrace that we're building. And by the way, we just started demoing the building to rebuild it up to be a dream center.
Yeah.
So we're doing stuff, but the building's actually not done. So if anybody wants to give, love to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to come and be a part of the dream team for year one, love to talk to you as well.
Very cool.
So for us, that vision of Abram, when God gives him the vision, he doesn't let him stay inside, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He says that because the ceiling is over your head. And that's what we found in Ward 7 and 8. Kids have a ceiling. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying, like God told Abram, go outside and look at the stars. We're trying to take kids outside. Mm-hmm. So go outside of your little area and then God will begin to dream. So the top of this will just be an expanse of the city. It's you look, you see Capitol, you see Washington Monument, you see National Cathedral, and it's just, it's a physical view of what we want God to do and inspire dreams in that part of the city. So yeah.
That's very cool. If people want to learn more about what you're doing at the, you know, the DC Dream Center, or if they want to get in touch, I appreciate you plugging there. Like, hey, there may be church leaders that are listening in today that are saying, hey, maybe our church could do something to support in DC. Or maybe I know a young person who's like, hey, they take a year, not necessarily even a young person. Maybe it's a retired person that would say, hey, I'd love to take a year and help invest in that. How could they should they just get in touch with you, or should they, you know, check out the website, or what could they do?
Yeah, Joel, J-O-E-L, at theaterchurch.com is great. My email. Joel@theaterchurch.com. That would be the best way. We're redoing our website right now, so I don't even want to throw that out there.
That's great.
So, yeah, cool. Thanks for asking about that.
Is there anything else that you want to share before we move on with the rest of our program?
It's got to be a passion in you for it to become a passion in other people. So, you know, all those steps and everything you're doing, like, it doesn't matter unless you're personally living it in your life. Mm-hmm. So that I just think that's the heart of that conversation.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round. That's the part of the episode where we talk about some of the same questions that we ask everybody that's on the show. Today, I'm honored to have Joel from National Community Church with us. It's been a great conversation today. Joel, what's an online resource that you're using these days that's helping you in your ministry?
Yeah, so this is kind of off the wall maybe, but there's something called Sanebox, and I just got turned on to it.
Nice.
So it's actually email organization, which if anybody is out there who your monster is email, come on, can I get an amen right there? And so email is just on my back all the time. So Sanebox, it's an email filter system. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's got like Sane Later. So it will actually, you kind of teach it and train it to take out certain things.
Very cool.
Because I start focusing on the here and now, right? Mm-hmm. Things that are not important but are urgent. So it pulls those things out and puts them in a separate folder. It also has a Sane Reminder folder. So when you send an email to a staff member and I'm overseeing a lot of guys. So then I got to go back. I don't know if you do this, but I go back to sent emails and I'm like, oh, I got to find that old email to remind them of what we talked about. So it kicks those into a folder as well. Mm-hmm. If somebody hasn't responded to my email, it'll kick it into that folder. Mm. You can also throw in a 2 hour at Sanebox in the blind copy and it will send that email back to you in like 2 hours. So I'm loving it right now. We'll
Very
see
cool.
how it works out in the long run, but, yeah.
Very cool. Great tool for sure. What's a book you've read, you know, in the last 6 months that's had an impact on your thinking or, you know, your ministry?
Yeah. The Pastor by Eugene Peterson, the guy who helped craft the Message version of the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. That one is rolling around in my system right now. Mm-hmm. So who are, like, as a pastor, it's not a vocation, right? It's not a job. It's a calling. Mm-hmm. And he speaks to that. He speaks to the idea of congregation, which is something I'm really wrestling. And I have a lot of half-baked ideas engaged in congregation, but how do I see, you know, like seeing my neighborhood as congregation, seeing Ebenezer's Coffee House, our coffee house, and the baristas as my congregation? How am I discipling those, or how am I engaging in that? So seeing every area of life as a congregation. Mm. And then secondly, you know, the idea of you know, not just nuances, but names, right? Mm. In our congregation, mm-hmm. do we know names? Are we at that place where we can speak life into one another because we are building a place of relationship, of congregation, that we can go from, you know, attender to disciple? So I think that book, I don't read books two times often, but I'm about to hit a second round on that one.
Very cool. That's very cool. What's another ministry you're looking to these days that's kind of inspiring you?
Yep, I love Christ Tabernacle and Brooklyn Tabernacle too, Chicago Tabernacle, the like this little group of people, but Christ Tabernacle up in New York City. Mm-hmm. And I just love the way they pray. I mean, their Tuesday night, that's like they get thousands of people to show up just to right. pray, to yes. see God.
That's fantastic.
And I get back to the like sometimes I think people, you can come for a show, but like for us, like a lot of we sing, and when you take the lyrics off the screen, it gets quiet.
Right.
And you go to Christ Tabernacle, it's the opposite.
Mm.
You take the lyrics off the screen and it gets louder.
Mm.
Of people just seeking and praising God. So I'm kind of looking at them. How can we learn from the way that they seek God and teach in discipleship worship? So
very cool.
And you got to experience it too.
Very cool. If you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would you want to get that time with and why?
Yeah. Maybe I'll throw in a couple. Sure. One is a guy named Dick Foth, Dr. Foth. Uh-huh. He wrote a book with, Mark Batterson, recently. But he's a mentor to me, so every time I'm with him, one, I'm learning something.
Yep.
And two, I feel like I'm a better version of me when I'm around this guy. And, you know, it's kind of like that, like if you got a funny, like a really funny friend, like yes. you get around him and you're like, man, I'm hilarious when I get around that guy, but you're not, and then you go away and you're not that funny, you know?
Yes, yeah. It,
when I get around Dr. Foth, it's like, man, I'm the best version of who I am when I'm with him. So I'd say him. The second one would be Theo Epstein.
Okay, yeah.
Chicago Cubs general manager.
Nice.
Took Boston to a title, and how are you going to get my Cubs to a title? Nice. I want to hear it, Theo. So, yeah.
Very good. That's great. Well, I appreciate you being on the show today. I'm sure, you know, leading at the church, you've got a lot going on. When you want to just kick back, relax, how can you, what do you do? What do you do to just kind of, you know, enjoy life a little bit?
Yeah, it's funny because I love playing basketball.
Nice.
I love going for a run.
Yep.
I'm 10 blocks from the Capitol, so I'll go run on the National Mall.
Nice.
Something about running.
It's like every great spy movie, you know, the guy out at the beginning of the movie running around the National Mall.
That's right. Yeah. And you do. Like, that's funny you say that. There was a Nicolas Cage movie about running. I don't know remember what it was. It was like 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I'm running down on the mall. And there's all these cameras.
Yes.
I'm literally running next to Nicolas Cage.
Oh, really?
Filming his movie on the National Mall. So it's funny.
That's funny. That's great.
But I love exercise for me as a form of relaxation, as funny as that sounds. But when you have three kids in a very small house.
Yes. You want to get out and run.
Running away from it is exercise, right? I'm invigorated by sport and those types of things.
Very cool. Well, Joel, I really appreciate you being on the show today. I'm sure people were challenged and encouraged. Thank you so much for taking time out. I hope you have a great rest of the week.
Hey, thanks for having me, and thanks for just being an inspiration, Rich. Love what you're doing, and love that you tackle things that just aren't covered in a lot of different areas. I'm inspired every time I've heard the podcast and just read some of the different things you put together. So thanks for your ministry and your work, man.
Thanks for the encouragement. Thanks, buddy. Take care.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.